Okay, we're going to start the top of Kuf Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. Yesterday we left off with the different ways that one could prevent a problem arising in the contract in terms of a Me'uchar, a Shtar Me'uchar. What type of insertions could help out or prevent there being any issues? And the Gemara discussed multiple ways, and then the fact that people didn't take advantage of those opportunities or instructions that the Chachamim had offered them. So now we have more instructions given by the Amoraim to their Sofrim or to the scribes about what to do in Shtarot in order to ensure that we don't have problems with the Shtarot. So Amar Lahu, Rabba Bar Rav Shila, Hanhu Kadve Shtarak Niato, used to tell these individuals who were writing Shtara Akniata, we'll see what those are, Ki Kadvinu Shtara Akniata. When you were writing such documents, I Adiyetu Yomade Kanitu Beik Tov. Kidvu, if you know the day on which they made the kinyon, write that date. Vilo kidvu yoma de kamaitu bay. Otherwise, write the day on which you are writing the contract. So it won't look like a false document. It won't look like it's a shtar mukdam. It won't look like there's a problem. So now, what is a shtar akniyata? So the Rashbam claims here the shtar akniyata. You look in it's the Rashbam, it's in the last wide line at the top there. Kotve shtar matanash, shtar matanash, ein katuv bein achrayut. It's either a gift that doesn't have achrayut in it. V'lo ati the mitre from the kuchot. Because there's no recourse. If there's no recourse, there's no problem for the kuchot. So either you write the time from the time that the kinyan happened, or you write the present time. Inam ishtar mechira shekata behen achrayut. On the other hand, it could be a shtar mechira that has achrayut written into it, but then the kuchot do are at risk, because if you date it back to the time of the kinyan, anybody who bought after the day of the kinyan is at risk. And the problem is that the kol really exists from the time that they signed the document, the time that they put the contract into place. So that's what the Rashbam says. No, that's not true. There happens to be a difference between halva'ah and mechira. Because when it comes to mechira, the sale itself generates the kol. The fact that it's being sold, the land, is enough of a kol, and the lukhot have to beware. On the other hand, when it comes to halva'ah, we saw this earlier in Masechta, mand osif, ozif bitzino. Someone who borrows money borrows quietly. They're not out to make it into a public issue. So when they borrow money, they do it in secret, and they'll make a big splash. It's only once the edim sign on the contract, that's what generates the kol. So there would be a difference between shtar yaknayata, items by matano, where there's no recourse, we don't care when you date it, because the dating is not going to have any bearing on the gift. If you know when the kinyan is versus today, it doesn't really matter, because if it's true, assuming it's true, then when he had the kinyan, he did have it, and it has no bearing on any other lukuchot. The possibility, right, of a shtar mechira, where it does have impact on lukuchot, over there we say it's also fine to date it to the dime of the kinyan, because the kinyan itself generates the public, right, knowledge of the fact that it's in the public domain once the transaction happens. At the end, the shtar halvah, the only time it reaches the public domain is once this contract has been signed and the redeem on it, and you're signing it today. So to predate it to when the kinyan happened is unfair, because the kuchot were not aware of the transaction. And that's what I'm saying. It says, davka shtari akneyata. Av shtari halvah, sheyesh bo achrayut, any loan document that has recourse in it, lo yichtov el yom she'omid bo achshav. You only had to date it at the current date. To the olam ein lukuchot mishubadim l'shum adam, kol zman shelo nichtav ashar. Because the kuchot are not going to be subverted to the claims of others until the shtar is written. Because the edim, hachatumim al ashtar, the edim that signed the shtar, inhu mafkilei lekala. They're the ones who spread the word. Again, we said that the one who lends out does it quietly. The only way this gets out there is with the edim that signed. They're signing today. And the Rashbam over here even suggests that v'filu nichta bayom, even if it's written in the day, v'nechtam balayla, and signed at night, that you're not allowed to predate it. For these shtari halvah, even if the kinyan took place during the day and you're writing the document at night, you got to date it based on the night and not on the daytime. It'll be a shtar mukdam otherwise. And this differentiation that he lays out between shtari mechira and shtari halvah, right, is what Rabba over here, right, Rav Shila was addressing the issues of documents that could be predated. Those documents that could be predated them, you may predate them to the Zman HaKinyan, as long as you're aware of when the Kinyan was. But if you're not aware, if you weren't present, if you don't know the Eidim weren't there at the Kinyan, then we're not going to write the Shtar predating it, because we have no idea whether that's true or not. So then we will date it based on the current date today. Alright, now, the Gemara continues with more instructions. Amar Lahu, Rav the Safre, Rav used to tell his scribes, Bechein Amar Lahu, Rav Huna the Safre, and same with Rav Huna. The student of Rav said also to his scribes, Ki kaimitu bishile, katvu bishile. If you are writing the document in Shile, write it. Document in the document that you're in Shile. V'afakav demisiran l'chumile behini. Even though you got the instructions, or the Kenyan took place in a place called Hini. Now, we've seen this before, that Hini and Chile are proximate or adjacent places. So you would thought it would be no big deal. Right? You got in Hini, writes in Chile. He says, no, you got to write the location in which you are found. Now, it sounds over here from the Rashbam and others that it's not just that you write both places. You have to actually write where the Kenyan was and where you're writing the Shtar. It's not that you write where the Shtar is and you don't write where the Kenyan happened, but rather, if the Kenyan happened in one place and you're writing the Shtar in another place, you've got to document that I'm writing the Shtar in Hini for the Kenyan that took place in Shili. So even though they're close by, you still have to have a certain amount of exactitude in the Shtar because of the low Mechseh, so it should be Mechseh Kishikra. Nobody can say, oh look, there's some problem or cast dispersions on this contract. And the same would be true in the reverse. Kikamitu bihini, ktad kitvu bihini. If you're in Hini, write Hini. Avagav, demisirin lechumile bishile, even though you got the Kinyan or the instructions in Shili. Amarova, haiman de nokich dora bar mea zuze. Someone who has a contract, say he has a debt document, meaning he's a creditor, and he has a document that says that I'm entitled to collect 100 zuz. V'amar shavi ani alei trei b'nei chamshin chamshin. He goes to the sofer, he goes to the scribe, he goes to the contract writer and says, listen, do me a favor, just split it into 250s. Right, give me change. Instead of, I don't want to walk around with a contract worth 100, I want two contracts that say the same thing, but just 50 each. So you should be indifferent. It's 50-50 or 100. You say, lo mishavina lo, we don't do it with him. Meaning that, without the lova's permission, we don't do it with him. Why? My time of the rabbanon milto de nechle the malveh and nechle the lova. That it's to the benefit of the malveh and it's the benefit of the loveh to remain as a single document. Why is that? Nechle the malveh kadeshi yikuf leparo. For the malveh, the advantage is that he's holding a large document. For instance, if the debtor pays him back half, pays him 50 back, he's still holding a contract that says 100, and the debtor is holding onto a receipt that says you paid 50. Now the debtor is always afraid he's going to lose the receipt. If he loses the receipt, the creditor can come back and make a full claim for 100 again. So that puts pressure on the debtor to repay the amount, not to hold out. The longer he holds out, the more risk there is that he loses his receipt, and then he's going to have to pay again. So it's an incentive for the debtor to repay the money. So from the malveh's perspective, it's better to have the bigger document. And from the lover's perspective, it's also better and beneficial because there's something called gimat hashtar. We had this in the Gemara and Gittin with regards to a woman's get. The woman says, and with a woman's ketubah, really, getting ketubah, that with regards to a woman's ketubah, she receives a portion of her ketubah and she admits, I got half my ketubah. Then, in that instance, she has to take a shavua. She has to take a shavua, because it's called pugemet ktubata. She's admitted that her ktubah has somewhat, right, been repaid. It's not its full amount. She has to take, there's a burden on her now to take a shavua in order to collect her ktubah. Same is true here. The loveh has an advantage. If it's a larger contract and the malveh admits that half of it was repaid, then the malveh now, there'll be an obligation on the malveh to take a shavua that the entire amount will not be repaid. So that's the loveh's advantage. That's the debtor's advantage. That he wants to have the document be the larger document and pay back a half, because then it's pogemet. If it was a full 50, then the one that he paid back would be gone, and the other one would be fully outstanding, and then he wouldn't have, the malveh will have no obligation towards him to take a shvua. And the same, amarava is in the reverse. If he has two documents, right, credits, he has two documents that say that you owe him money 50-50, right, and he wants to go ahead, consolidate for me. I want to get the 50 put into a 100 document. Lo mishavin and late. We don't do that for him. Why? It's beneficial to both parties. Why? So here it's the opposite, right? Here, the malveh wants it to be 250s, because then his shtar, he won't have to take a shavua. when he pays him back half, he pays back 50, he just rips up one shtar and he still has a full shtar. The other one is a full collection of 50, and he won't take a shavua about it. So that's to his advantage. And the ma'lova, nechle lova, because kadesh lo yikof lefaro. Again, when he repays the 50, he doesn't have to hold on to the receipt. They ripped up that shtar. All that's left outstanding is the 50 shtar, so it's to his advantage. So, I mean, it's the opposite. I mean, it's the exact opposite of the other case that we saw before, where he wants to take 100 and split into 50s. Here, when he 50s, because I had to 100, you have the opposite. I mean, conceptually, the opposite. What the benefits the malva there, benefits the lova here, or benefits the lova there, benefits the malva here. But either way, we cannot allow him to consolidate it because, unless they both agree, of course, or to break it up, because there's a disadvantage to each party by switching it from either 100 to 50-50 or 50-50 to 100, and therefore we say to the Sofrim, don't do it. Amar Ravashi, Haimon de Donkat Shtari Bar Meazuze, Bamar, Shavino Niale, Chad Bar Chemshin, Lo Mishavinale. He has a shtar that's worth 100 zuz that he's entitled to collect 100 with it. He says to him, make it into 150 for me. He says, make it in, write me a shtar for a 50. So he says, Lo Mishavinale, we don't do this term, why not? So my time, Amrinan Hai Mifra Pare, said this document was already paid off. Mamalai Havli Shtarai, and he said to him, the debtor, when he paid back the full 100, he says, give me my shtar back. Amalai Yerkesli said it was ripped up, lost it, burnt, don't have it anymore. Chtivle Tavra, and he wrote for him a receipt at the time. He wrote the debtor a receipt. Umapikle Hai, Vamalai Hayachrinu. So now what's going to happen? He goes to the sofer and he says, listen, I have this document for 100. He paid me back 50. Just write me 150 now because I want to reduce the contract down. Sofer shouldn't do this. Why? Because what could have happened was that the debtor repaid the entire shtar. And when he said, give me my shtar back, he said, I didn't have it. He lied, but he said, I didn't have it. So he wrote him a receipt that says, you paid back the shtar for 100. Then he goes ahead to the sofer, we rip it up to 100, and he writes him a 50. Then he comes back a year later, and he says, you owe me money. So he says, whips out his receipt. He says, no, I paid you back. He says, no, that receipt's for 100. This shtar's for 50. It's a different shtar. So we don't allow him to change the shtar, again, without the lovev being there, because we just don't know the circumstances under which this shtar exists right now. Does this shtar exist because there really is a debt outstanding? Or does this shtar exist because there's a receipt against it? Or because he basically lied to the lovev and said that it was not extant anymore? All right, now, new Mishnah. Shnei Achin, this is something that we quoted earlier in the Masechta, with regards to Goda Gud, which is put call options. And put call options, when we can force a split between partners, we said over there that one partner says, either, look, this is the price, either you buy or I buy. One of us has to buy here, here's the price, buy or sell at this price. So that's called Goda Gud, put call option. Here you have two achim, echad ani v'chad ashir. One is wealthy, one is poor. The father left them a bathhouse and an olive press. Sandeschar, if they were prior to this point in time used as rental properties, meaning that they were an income generating properties, whether it was the bathhouse or the olive press, aschar lamsa, then we don't worry about it. Then the rental goes to the, basically to the estate, but goes between them. They split the rental income. Asam Atzmo, on the other hand, if they were used for the utility of the individual himself, their father used them. It was his personal bathhouse, and it was his personal olive press. Then, Harei Ashir Omer Lani, listen, Ashir, the rich brother, says to the poor brother, Kach L'Avadim V'Yechatzu V'Machatz, get yourself some servants and go bathe yourself in the bathhouse. Kach L'Chazetim, get some olives. Right? Uvav Asab V'Beit Abad, and squeeze them or press them in the olive press. Basically, they're made for utility. I can use them. And you're equally able to use them. They're open to both of us. Oh, sorry, you can't use it. I'm sorry. You go get yourself some olives and some avadim, and you can use them as well. But there's no obligation over here for them to split it or to sell it, because that's not what their intended use was. And the Ashir can say to Ani, if you want to use them like our father did, go ahead. But I'm not going to give it up. I'm not going to forfeit my usage of these properties because you can't use them. Shnayim shayu b'irachat. If two people in the same city, Shem Echad Yosef ben Shimon, Shem Acher Yosef ben Shimon. Two people share the same name in a single city, Yosef ben Shimon. They cannot take out Ishtachov one on the other, because each one of them can claim, I was the creditor. They come to court and he says, listen, the other Yosef ben Shimon owes me money, I have a contract that says he owes me money. The other Yosef ben Shimon, supposedly the debtor, shows up in court, he says, no, no, no. I was the creditor, and when you paid me back, I gave you the document back. because you wanted your document after you paid me back. So you're holding the document not because you were the creditor, you were the debtor, and you paid me back. That's why you have it. We can't prove it either way, because it says Yosef ben Shimon to Yosef ben Shimon. We don't know which one is which. Velo acher yocholo tzialen shtarchov. And other parties, third parties, can't take out a document against them because each one will say it was the other one. A creditor shows up and says, Yosef ben Shimon, you owe me money. He says, no, no, that's the other Yosef ben Shimon. That's not me. No, 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 you got it wrong. So therefore you can't have a creditor take out a document on them. Nimsa lechad ben shtarotav shtarosho Yosef ben Shimon. Parua, if a person finds amongst the shtarot, a shtarosho Yosef ben Shimon parua that was paid off, shtarot shnehem pruim, then both of them are considered to be paid off. Both of them are considered to be, here, you have a shtar that says Yosef ben Shimon was paid off. We don't know which Yosef ben Shimon. And then he loses all his rights now because he can't prove which one did pay and which one didn't pay. Ketziyasu, so how do we prevent these problems? Yishaleshu. What does that mean? Put the third generation in. Hey, just put in the third. It's Yosef ben Shimon, Ben, whoever, right? Hopefully they're different at that point in time. V'mayu mishulashim. If we were so lucky that they had the same names, they had the same father and same grandfather. Yichtuvu siman. Right? That they should write some sort of indication in there, like tall, short, you know, the one, the, you know, the dark skinned, whatever it is that identifies them or separates between them. Let's, you know, write those indications there. Vim ayu misumanim. What happens if they look exactly alike too? Then yichtavu kohen. We use some sort of yichus. It's kohen, Israel, Levi, whatever it is. I mean, I thought that would have been an earlier choice because even there, Yosef ben Shimon a kohen versus Yosef ben Shimon a Levi. I mean, that's a distinguishing fact you could use even when they had two names. But here are a list of ways to differentiate between two individuals so we don't run into these problems. All right, so now, how started enough of the Beidina, the Rav Huna? The shtar showed up in the Beidin Rav Huna. Ani ploni bar ploni leviti mane mimcha. It was a generic item that says, I, so-and-so, borrowed money from you. Now, the from you doesn't say who. That's a pronoun without any antecedent there. So who's the you? Well, this individual says, you know who it is? It's me. I'm holding the document. The you is me. How else could it be? Sam Ravuna mimcha vafilu miresh galuta. From you and even from the resh galuta. Vafilu mishvar malka, even from the exilarch, even from the king. What does it mean from you? So now there are two ways to read this. The Rishbam reads from you, from the resh galuta, or from the shavur malka. He says, if you look at the Rishbam, it's the top Rishbam here on the left side. He says, "Klamar shem reish galuto adam acher elvo." Maybe somebody else lent the money. V'nafal mimenu matzato, and then you found the document that was dropped. It's like the equivalent of a bearer bond. This is the query of a bearer bond. A bearer bond entitles anyone who is bearing the bond to collect money. That's exactly what this is. It says, "Whoever," it says, "I owe money to you." You is whoever's holding on to it. So now he's the other person. He lent, borrowed money from someone else. He dropped, the person, the creditor dropped it, and this guy picked it up. Vein lefaresh. So now you can't explain over here the bar Rav Huna lamar sheigvesh darozeh muvzak that he should collect it. The mashmur kol mishim muvzak v'shtar afilu resh galuta muvzak bo. But there are two ways to explain Rav Huna over here. You can explain Rav Huna the way that the Rashbam explained it, that you're entitled to collect nothing over here because we have no way to know that's really your shtar. How do we know it's your shtar? It could have been anybody's shtar, and you could have just picked it up. So we have no way to know it's your shtar, therefore you will not collect over here. The other possibility, which the Rishbam rejects, is the pshat of Tosos. Tosos says, no. What it means is that when it says you, it could mean anyone. When it means anyone, it means whoever's bearing the bond will be entitled to payment. And when he says, afilu reish galuta, even though the exilarch normally doesn't lend money to people, if he's holding the bond, he will get, if he's holding this document, he will get it. You'll have to pay him. Or Shvamalka, even if it's the king who doesn't lend out money. If he's holding this document, you will get it. So the other way Tosfos learns it, is Rav Huna is suggesting over here, you can get it. You get it. You get the money because you're holding the bond. It says Mimcha. Mimcha means anybody. No matter whether it's logical to assume they lend money or not, if you're holding it, you get it. The way that Rav Huna is learning is no, that the fact that anybody could be, it could mean anybody, is to the detriment over here, meaning that you can't collect because we're not sure it's yours. It could have been anybody else's. And therefore you shouldn't be entitled to collect. So the machloka is between the Rashbam and Tosfot to read how Rav Huna is suggesting over here. So Amalei Rav Chista, the Rabbah. So Rav Chista says to Rabbah, poke ayimba. Go look into this issue. Dela'orta bayila Rav Huna minach. That Rav Huna is going to come to you tonight and ask you this question. He went out and he found the solution to this problem. The Tanya, we have a price, a get. You have a divorce document that has edim on it, but no date. Abishol omer im katuv bo gerashtia hayom kasher. It says that I divorced her today. It's good. Alma hayom hauyoma denafik be mashma. So over here again, you have a generic term called hayom, today. Now today could be any day. Nevertheless, that we over here we suggest that the today means literally today. Now, what assumption here is that when he shows up in Beis Din with the get, when it says hayom, we assume it's today. That it happened today. Hayom means today, and literally today, even though hayom could have meant a year ago or 2 years ago, nevertheless, we say it's fine. So now, hachanami, also in our case, mimcha, right, when it says mimcha, mehau gavra, denafik mitutei yodei mashma. Whoever's holding it, that means who the mimcha is. So it should be the same thing. So why, now, Abba Shaul over here requires you to write hayom. Even though he doesn't require you to date it, he still requires you to write hayom, that it is from today. Why? If you think that the date is not necessary, why do you need mehayom in there? So the Rashbam explains, we're going to see this in a second, that even if you hold that you don't need a date, there might be a separate issue, which Rashbam claims is that there might be outstanding oral tnaim that are on this document. So we're not sure when the Baal gave this document to the wife, he said, listen, this is a get for you and it's valid in a year from now. Or this is a get for you, lachar mita, when I die. How do we know what stipulations he put in it? Now, if he writes in the document, mehayom, from today, then we don't have to worry about any stipulations because the get clearly states that it's today and not any other date. So Abba Shaul, according to the Rashbam, requires you to put mehayom in there to protect against outstanding conditions in the get. Whereas the lack of a date is not poselet, because we're going to see in a second that he holds, right, like Rabbi Elazar. Over here, at this point, the habamin is that it's, the reason is because hayom is specific enough to allow him to divorce. That's equivalent of a date. That's what we're saying. Just like mimcha will be the equivalent of the person who's holding it. So now we're going to reject it. Maybe Abba Shaul because Rabbi Elazar is really. Maybe Abba Shaul who looks like Elazar. Amar Eidim Misira Karte. It's the Eidim Misira that are the ones that generate the document over here. But over here, let's worry about the fact that someone else dropped the bond. Someone else dropped this credit document. It's like a blank check that somebody dropped. So as you picked it up, who knows that it really belongs to him. So over here, this is the piece to read the Rashbam on. The Rashbam says, what does it mean, Eidim Misira Karte, over here? If you look down in the Dilma Abba Shaul, it's the third to last narrow line over here. Rabbam, Shein Eidim Chotmim Alaget Elam Bnei Tikkun Olam. So Rabbi Lazar believes that Eidim Misira Karte, the divorce is generated by those that witness the handing of the get to the woman. So why do the Eidim sign on the get? Because of Tikkun Olam. Just like he's makshir without edim, he's also makshir without a date in it. Because the only reason the get is here now is just evidence to the fact that there was a get handed to the woman by this in front of edim. So edim is just testifying to us that it actually took place somewhere else. But the true delivery of the get and the divorce took place in front of edim, and the edim is sira, the ones that do it. So now, also over here, the reason that the tikkun olam of dating it is because we don't want him to cover up for his niece that he's married to if she had an extramarital affair, or we're afraid that the peirot are being eaten by the baal even after the divorce, whatever the reasons are that we want a date in there to protect. Nevertheless, if there's no date, it's not necessarily an invalid get. So why does Abba Shaul have to write in it today if he doesn't need a date? Why do you need that language at all? So the Rashbam over here says because we need something to prove that the get's effective today and that there's no other outstanding conditions in the get. So then the Rashbam at the end makes a strange comment. He says, that's why we write in our Gittin today, from today, and forever. That he says that the reason we write in our Gittin today, is to show that the get's effective immediately. So now Tosos takes issue right away at the Rashbam. He says, wait a minute. The only reason Abba Shaul requires you to write Minayom is because of the possibility that there are conditions. But if we know there are no conditions on the get, why should you have to write Minayom? So Tosos takes issue and says he doesn't think so at all, that the Reb disagrees wholeheartedly with this. And he doesn't understand where the Rashbam got this, and where did you ever get this new reasoning behind Abba Shaul, that because he needs Hayom, because of any Hochacha to prove that it's that case. So the Tosfos takes issue with this whole explanation of the Rashbam, especially the point that today we have to write it in the documents, even though we know there are no outstanding Tanayim. He says it doesn't make any sense. Minayom is only to offset the possibility. If there's no, if we know for certain there is not no such possibility, then there's no reason to write Minayom for that reason. Alright, now the Gemara continues, says, okay, so Abaye's suggestion over here now is that their cases are different. Abba Shoal says Me'ayom means today, meaning literally the day that you bring it into Beis Din. And Mincha, which means you, should be the person that bears it. We say, no, there's a difference over there. By the case of the Get, again, this Kasher, because Eidi Mesira Karte. Again, according to the Rashbam, Me'ayom is to deal with another issue, nothing to do with today. Whereas over here, we're dealing with a document that's, there's no Eidi Mesira over here. Well, the only issue is that we have a contract that you want a debt document that requires you to repay. So he says, all right, let's worry about the fact that it was dropped. The fact that it was dropped means that someone picked it up who didn't really, the money wasn't owed to. He picked up a blank check. He found on the ground a blank check, filled in his name. Right? But basically over here, he's picking up a bearer bond. He picks up the bearer bond. Now he's owed the money. So he says, Amalei l'nefil lo chashinan. The rabbi says back to Abaye, no, we don't worry about the document being dropped. Munat tamer, how can I prove it to you? So lo chashinan l'nefila from our Mishnah. I can prove it to my mission. We don't worry about documents being dropped. Why? It's not. They were both in one city. Two people the same name. They cannot, without any edim around that know who is who or what happened here, they cannot take out, whip out a document, one on the other. And a third party can't take it on them. Ha! But we can infer from that. Hey, malachirim, yucholim. They can go and make a claim against others. They can say, if they have a credit, they're creditors. And they go to someone in the city and say, you owe me money. So there, we don't, the mission doesn't say they can't do that. It says they can do it. Obviously, the Gemara in other places talks about what they might have to do. They might have to write a Rosha to one another. They might have to write some sort of granting power of attorney one to the other so that they're coming as a single entity to collect. But they can't do it. There's a possibility that they could do it. So if you see that, why don't we say, am I lechush nefilo? Why don't we worry about the fact that he dropped the document? What happened? One, Yosef ben Shimon was the creditor. He dropped his document. And guess who found it? The other Yosef ben Shimon. And now he shows up in the court and says, you owe me money. But it was really the other Yosef ben Shimon's document. How come we don't worry about the fact that it was dropped? So I said, proof to you from our mission. We don't worry about dropped documents. So what type of answer is that? So he says, "V'amai lechush nefila." So why don't you say this? Let's worry about nefila. Lav shmamino nefila lo cheshinon. We don't worry about nefila. So Abaye comes along, says, "The nefila dechad lo cheshinon, the nefila derabim cheshinon." What are you talking about? There's a big difference in these cases. In our Mishnah, if he drops it, right, there's only one person in the whole city that could pick it up, and it'll be relevant to. That's the other Yosef ben Shimon. If anybody else in the city picks it up, not relevant. So that type of nefila we're not choshesh for. Whereas, if it's nefila derabim, if we're talking about a document that's a bearer bond, then we don't worry about it. Now, the Rashbam quotes an alternative explanation from the Ben Ochanano here about the mitziyahs. Why? Because if there's one, if the Yosef ben Shimon loses it, he'll go around the town and he'll be going, I lost my document. Then when the other Yosef ben Shimon shows up in court and says, I have this document, people will put two and two together and figure out, he lost the document and now he's showing up in court with this document. They'll put two and two together. But when you're dealing with a bearer bond that has no name on it and therefore it's unknown who it belongs to, then even if someone was looking for a credit document, we won't put two and two together because there was no name on it. It's not associated with a single individual and therefore people will not associate it. That's the way the Rabbeinu Hanano suggests over here. I mean, that one Yosef Shimon can buy it from the other Yosef Shimon. Right, but the problem is that we don't know. I mean, that the fact that you hold the bond, right, does that really entitle you to payment? Without any proof that it's yours, do we entitle you to payment? Can you use a bearer bond? That's the basic question of the Gemara here. Is the bearer bond, right, basically exactly what you're suggesting? It's a bearer bond. Whoever's holding it gets to collect. They can come up with a reason. Either they were granted the document. I bought it. It was granted to me as a gift. Whatever it is, but I'm entitled to have it and I can collect with it. The other possibility is no. That when you're holding such a bond, we don't allow such a bond to be written because of the risks that are associated. If someone drops, it's the real risk of the bearer bond. If a bearer bond is stolen, there's no way to track it. There's no way to get it back. So that's the same problem. If it was stolen, it was dropped, we have no way to know. So that's exactly the Gemara's question here. Do we say that this bond really entitles you to collection? Or do we say there's too much risk with such a bond that we're not allowing people to collect on such bonds? That's exactly what the Gemara's question is. And so he says, the Baila Nefila Dechadol Chashina Nefila Derabim Chashina. Wait, when we're talking about one person dropping, that's one thing. But when we're talking about multiple people dropping it, then we're talking about a totally different situation. All right, we'll stop over here.